Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 21 to 32. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. And our New Testament lesson is from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 to 30. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers or sisters, or father or mother, or children or fields for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Amen. And may God add his blessings on these readings from his holy word. Let us now continue our worship by singing hymn CH4448, Lord, the light of your love is shining.
Glory be to God the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Amen. I hopefully will see a slide appear, Lord willing. Our gospel reading today speaks about progression. Progression. Nowadays, progression isn't always thought of in a positive way within the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it seems that there are some who are teaching a gospel of progression, a gospel that the apostles and the early church wouldn't recognize, a gospel that sets aside the deity of Christ, the atonement of Christ, the resurrection from the dead, and the place that we have in Christ as his disciples, making him known and making a difference in this world. It would seem that this progressive gospel very much focuses on making the difference in the world at the expense of leaving aside the apostolic truths of the disciples and indeed of Christ. That's not the progression that we are going to be looking at today. Our next slide explains what we're going to be looking at. We're looking at the progression from being a child to a young man to an older person who's run the race, a not so young man. And today, of course, we're celebrating two lives. And that's why this is particularly relevant, as we honor these two lives, one that's just begun and one who is celebrating in glory, who has run the race. So as we think, and next slide, in terms of progression, I would like you to think of it in terms of what it means to be a child. I believe that we all should have a vision for God, but that vision starts way back with our calling by God. As we get called by God, so our Bible tells us, he grants us gifts and abilities. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For works that he's ordained beforehand. You see, he doesn't just call us and leave us. He calls us and equips us. Danielle is equipped. Anna Danielle is equipped. Just like her grandfather, equipped. Now having run the race, now entered into glory, now entering his rewards, now hearing those wonderful words, and we pray that one day she will also. But I'm not just praying for her, I'm praying and we're praying for each other, for one another. Because as a congregation of God's people, we have to honor God's call on our life to make disciples, to make a difference. And it can only be by making Jesus known. That's our purpose. That's our purpose. And our purpose informs our vision. We call it mission today. But our mission is clearly determined by God's calling, because it's his mission. And his gifting, it's his gifts. And our purpose, it's his purpose. We are church, set apart for godly purposes. If we go to the next slide. Children are presented in our reading to Christ. The disciples thought they were doing good in saying not to trouble the Lord. But the Lord heard what was going on and was rather indignant. And says, no, I want the children to come to me, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Now, bear in mind that this dialogue that's going on follows on from Christ's teaching about marriage and family. You see, they were trying to entrap him about divorce. And just now, it seems that easy divorce maybe on the horizon on the Scottish statute books as it is down south. Divorce is never easy, and the victims often, and the people who suffer most, are the children. So therefore, Christ makes it very clear that for him, marriage is special. Marriage is unique. We call it holy matrimony. I never call it marriage when I counsel people to prepare for marriage. I call it holy matrimony. That was my doctorate, holy matrimony, in family theology. It is ordained by God. Did I be controversial? I see it as the first gift of God, as he gave to Adam a wife, a helpmeet. It is, for me, absolutely vital. It models Jesus' relationship with the church. It is unique and it is a blessing. And within that comes further blessing. Children, should God give us them. And we, as we have heard today, make the promises as Christian people to teach our children, not just those who belong to us as part of our family, But all children who are part of God's family, we model the love and the grace of God in our life so that they in turn can be encouraged to model it. Truth be told, they often model it to us, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. There was no entrapment here. Jesus was able to turn the situation round, taking the little child perhaps on his knee and blessing them, laying his hand upon them and blessing them. Thank you. We move on from the children that are presented to Jesus to us. It's a silly picture, isn't it? But you know, that's the way some of us are. We are expected to grow up, not just to sit on Dad's knee, but to grow in the knowledge of Christ so that we can actually do the work of the gospel. We grow in grace, and we pray that through family instruction and the instruction of the church, Anna Danielle will grow in grace. We pray for that. Thank you. That's not a model of Amos, by the way. But you know, there are some churches and some people that would actually deny the baptism to children, the sacrament of baptism to children. And I think this quote's very important. It has been well said that without these words of Jesus, suffer the children to come to me, and the attitude here expressed toward infants, that the Christian church would have been a far different place from what it is. And that's true. If there's one thing that saddens me, and I've moved across the water, by the way, can I bring you greetings from Beenotown? We're Beenotown this week. I bring you greetings from the Western churches. I'm part of the Western grouping of Lochee and Camperdown, of Mingus Hill, Logie St. John's Cross, and Dundee West. And for good measure, they've made me the interim moderator of the steeple. So I'm going to just say welcome. For those of you that knew me before, I was indeed 6'2", but I'm getting worn down. No, I bring you greetings from these churches because as I go round them, I don't see a lot of children. I don't see a lot of youth, and I'm really pleased to see some here. But you know, we should have a passion. We should be all out to reach these children for Jesus in every possible way we can. And we should allow our services to be noisy. I can't always get the rhythm when I'm clapping, but I like that. And I love the way you guys presented in and processed in like a family. It was fantastic. It was brilliant. You know, I'd love to see the church. I did that once in the Church of Scotland, and you should have seen them walking. They didn't know what way to go. You know, it is just great. You were dancing. You were celebrating. And it wasn't just the joy of having a new baby. It was a joy of being together. It was a joy of being one in Christ. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. We will enter his courts with thanksgiving. Where? In our hearts. We will enter with praise. And it's good to do. And that's what children respond to. That and gentleness. As I walked round holding Anna Danielle, you'll notice I've still got the wee wiggle. I can keep on going. Yeah, I've had that many children and grandchildren. I can still do it. But she was content and pacified. But it's not enough to be content and pacified. We've got to grow. Thank you. And we grow in the grace of God. Now, we have a problem with our text because enters in a young man with everything. He's got the Rolex of his day. He's got the Go Fast Camel. You know, he's got everything that you could ever wish for. So much in the way of possessions. And he comes to Jesus, and he comes in a way that, well, is going to be rather challenging for him. And once again, if I can get the slide to move on here, you'll see that this young man comes in an earnest way. He comes running to Jesus. He comes enthusiastically. He comes in a respectful way. He comes up close. He doesn't shout, Jesus, what do I? He comes up close and he engages with Jesus respectfully. And he is interested He wants to know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And again, if I move the slide on, I'm used to having a clicker in my own church. He thought Jesus had a secret knowledge, somehow had discovered another way, not realizing that Jesus himself is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come to the Father unless he comes by him. Let's not be embarrassed about that truth. It's Bible truth, and it's from the very lips of Jesus. No man can come to the Father unless he comes by him. Next slide. The problem was his materialism. He thought he was in control, but it was actually controlling him. He wasn't in control himself. Next slide. A whistle through these ones. Jesus has got to the heart of the matter in challenging the man who knew the law, who knew religion. Boy, he was religious. He knew it inside out, and he kept it, and he was enthusiastic about it. But as Christ says, what does it profit a man should he gain the whole cosmos? Not just the world. The word is cosmos. The whole cosmos, but yet forfeits his soul. Someone has said, haven't they, that there are no pockets and shrouds. You can't take it with you. So whether you've got the Rolex, whether you've got the greatest, loveliest suit or shoes, the lovely house, all the material things that this world can supply, it's never enough. And it wasn't really enough for this young man, because this young man goes away. Next slide. He goes away saddened. He's saddened. And Jesus says to the disciples at this point, who are shocked, the word is gobsmacked, they are absolutely shocked what he says. I tell you the truth, he says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. And I won't prolong anything on that. I'm sure you've heard a million sermons on that one. But the truth is, they were expecting blessing from God, material blessing as evidence of God's touch on their life. It's not always so. My bag. 40 years it's been with me. 40 years. I've tried everything to stretch it out. The holes in the bottom make things fall out of it. A bit like me, really. You know, it's been in the ministry as long as me. 40 years now. As of this May. But you know, it's still going. I still use it. And it's going to still be used, and I will still be used until I've run the race, until I enter into God's presence, until I experience, Lord willing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Next slide. You see, Amos actually prophesied about what was going on in Israel of old, saying that you were all caught up in worship that God couldn't stand the stink of. God couldn't stand the noise of. It was clanging cymbals. God just hated their worship. And they thought because everything was at peace and they were growing and everything was honky-dory that God was blessing them. The truth was they were already under judgment. Ephesians 2:20 to 22 also tells us about the apostles. Jesus says to them that they will become the judges of the nations. The judges of the nations. And we can easily miss something out here because Romans 11:1 to 6 tells us that they are the part of the faithful remnant of Israel as well. A very special place, those who accept Messiah in Christ. These apostles represent them too. They are special. They are unique. They, along with Christ, are the foundation upon which we progress in faith. We trust that writing, the Holy Word, as we ask you to read to your daughter, and we ask you to teach all the children that come into this place. And final slide, you'll be glad to hear. I made this up. I styled it on my own family's coat of arms which is centuries old, even older than my bag. But this, for me, is a shield that's important today, because the black shield represents stability, strength, reliability. The white cross, the saltire, represents purity. And I've designed this for Anna Danielle. It's my gift to her. Anna means grace. And that's why you have infinite grace on the top there with the heart. And I pray that she will know and continue to always know the infinite grace and love of God. It starts with the baptism clamshell, which was a symbol of pilgrimage, the beginning of the journey of faith. And in a sense, that's why the clamshell is there. In the middle, you have the scales. And the scales actually represent her name, Daniel or Danielle. It means God is the judge. And I pray that you will always remember that God is the judge, that God is the one who judges her, not to take the judgment and the condemnation and all the nonsense that the world will throw at her, because it will. Instead, to look to God and to trust in him. And Amos means the burden bearer. And that's why I've put the yoke. And I pray that she will always be yoked with Christ. Always be yoked with Christ. And of course, I've put the keys to bind and to loose, to know what it means to exercise the gifts and the calling that God has given her for a particular purpose, to share vision and faith with all people. Why? Well, the crown's there, because she's a child of the king. She's a princess. She's a princess. And you know, you could think up your own coat of arms today, and I would encourage you to do that, because God welcomes you all. Don't put your trust like the rich young man in materialism. Instead, think about the vision that you would wish. Check your calling and your gifting, and you will know your purpose, and that vision will become clearer to you. That's the progression that our reading is telling us today. And that's true not just of us, but of this church. And not just of this church, but of this presbytery, and indeed of all of the church of Scotland. This is a time for prophetic voices, and I pray that you will be part of that prophetic voice, making Jesus known, making disciples, and making a difference, no matter what age you are. May God bless these thoughts to you and me. Amen. Well, let's worship God again as we stand and we sing, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. Let us say together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. The living and the dead. And the third, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Do you know, we have the Apostles' Creed, which we all rejoice in, and it's interesting how they change the words ever so slightly, and it just throws you that little bit. It's even harder when you've not got eyes in the back of your head and you're trying to follow. Can I extend to you on Amos and his wife and family's behalf an invitation to join them for refreshments at 2 o'clock? Now, I hope I've got that right. And that's an invitation to everybody. That's going to be interesting at the manse, 2 o'clock. Well, once again, let's stand before we bring our prayers of dedication and intercession to God. Let's stand, and we'll acknowledge God's faithfulness to us as his people as we sing the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Oh.
offering our prayers of dedication and intercession. Let's pray. Father, you are good to us beyond all measure. You bring us near, even within the veil. Through Christ our Lord, we can indeed rejoice and be thankful for the many blessings that we have, not least for our families. Today we thank you once again for all the families of this church. We pray especially for those who cannot be with us, perhaps laid aside because of ill health, or because of work commitments, or sadly because of age. We pray, Lord, that you will draw near to them, and you will help us to remember to minister in your name to all. We pray for this church, for this session, for this presbytery, indeed for the Church of Scotland, that you will be pleased to revive us in the truths of the gospel, that we truly would make Jesus known, and that we would make disciples who will make a difference in this world. We pray for your church throughout the world and for its witness. We pray especially for those who are hard-pressed and serve you in difficult situations. Lord, bless and strengthen that witness, that it might bear much fruit for the gospel's sake, we pray. We pray too, Father, for all who are sick and who are poorly, perhaps laid up in hospital, whether that illness is mental or physical, or sadly, perhaps even spiritual. We pray that they will know the touch of the Comforter and the touch of the Great Physician, bringing healing to body, mind, and spirit, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for the faithful cloud of witness around us. And today we especially thank you for the memory of the late Daniel Chewachong. We thank you, Father, for his witness to his family, and indeed for that witness continuing through them. Indeed, for all who have been faithful witness to us, we give you thanks, and thank you that they have now entered into their eternal rest. We pray that, Lord God, as we continue the very work of the gospel that so caught them up with joy, that we too will continue faithfully until we have run that race too. We pray especially for Cecilia Bia Weachong, and we pray, Father God, that she too will know that peace, and indeed the extended family. We pray for the Mance family here, not just for this afternoon, and for all that will go on through the hospitality, Lord, that they will exercise, but Lord, for the ministry that they do, we give you thanks. I give you thanks for my brothers here who have shared this service with us, and for our choir, and for our organist, and for all who have been involved behind the scenes. We especially thank you for the reading of your word, and pray it will take root in our hearts, and there our faith will grow. Bless each one of us now, we pray, as we begin to take our leave. Lord, may we do so in the knowledge that you go with us. No matter what life may throw at us, we know you are ever present, even upon all life's billows. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn then is When Upon Life's Billows. So let's stand and sing, and we'll remain standing, saying the Lord's Prayer together.
Thank you.
And let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and yours, now and forevermore.